Just checking this. Praise God. It's great. How many of you are excited today to be in the house of God? Man, I am excited. How many of you are excited because your taxes are done? I'm excited. We've been doing this series, Is Giving Up Okay? But before we get into that, I just want to welcome Jim and Darlene from Regina. They watch us on the internet. And so you need to give them a First Baptist welcome. It's so good to have them here with us this morning. So good. So great. We've been doing a series, Is Giving Up Okay? And today we're going to finish up our series. And we've talked about the dread, will it ever stop? We talked about, will we always be a victim? Why don't people like me? Will justice ever be served? And so we finish up today by asking the question, will life ever change? Will life ever change? Little boy wanted $100 very badly. And he prayed for weeks. He prayed. And nothing happened. And his mother said, well, you know, sometimes, you just have to put a little effort into it. You know, if you want $100, you have to put some effort in it. God answers through our efforts as well. And so the little guy decided he'd write God a letter requesting the $100. The Canada Post authorities received the letter to God, Canada. They decided to send it to the Prime Minister. You're all laughing. You must know this little guy. The Prime Minister was so amused that he instructed his secretary to send the little guy a $5 bill. I mean, the Prime Minister thought that, you know, this would appear to be a lot of money to a little guy. That's why he sent $5. So little boy was, sure enough, he was delighted. $5! Thought it appeared to be a lot of money, but he's delighted with $5. He sat down to write a thank you note to God, and it read this. It said, Dear God, thank you very much for sending the money. However, I noticed that for some reason you sent it through Ottawa, Ontario. And those crooks deducted $95 in taxes. I can tell you've all been there at some point. Wow, and that's on the internet. I'm going to have the IRS on me, Reverend Kent or something. It's been said there are two things in life that you can be certain of, death and taxes, and that's very true. And what you don't die from, the government makes sure and kill you on the way. So, I mean, through taxes. So. But what a life we live. I mean, you know, really when you think about it, there's so much that we go through in life. And some of you right now are going through some stuff in your life, and you're going, man, when will this ever change? I mean, we walk through turmoil, we go through tragedy, and we wonder, will things ever get better? When will my life make a turnaround? When will my life change? I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, in the scriptures in the Bible there. You have your pew Bibles there if you want to turn to that page number. 1 Peter chapter 4, it's a great passage. 1 Peter 4, the title is Living for God. And I want you to read, jump down to the end of the chapter, Living for God. The very end of the chapter, verse 19, says this, So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. I tell you, life will change by doing right. Those who suffer according to God's will. Now, I don't know about you, but I really don't like that verse very much. God's will for me to suffer? In fact, we try desperately to avoid these kind of passages or even kind of take it out of context because it makes it much easier to live with, makes it more comfortable. But really what it means is you just follow along with God and God will look after you even when you go through suffering. I like the way the Message Bible puts this. So if you find life difficult because you're doing what God said, take it in stride. Trust Him. He knows what He's doing and He'll keep on doing it. Amen? Wow. Did you know that if you keep doing right, that means if you stay connected with God, if you pray, if you read His Word, if you stay committed to Him, and you don't give up on God, do right, God will take care of you. God will look after you. In fact, in the end, where you might be going through that valley right now or through that turmoil, that tragedy or something, I tell you right now, once you're on the other side, you're going to look back and you're going to go, wow, God carried me through. Don't give up on God. If you're moving in the right direction that God wants you to go, then when the suffering occurs, you have the strength of God right there with you, for you, alongside of you. I know what I'm preaching today is truth. This is not a hope so, think so, maybe, could be, tried, I'll hang around, see what happens. I'm telling you right now, if you do what we've talked about throughout this series, you will have a different kind of life. It's not going to happen overnight. And you'll do it, and you'll get so tired, and you think you're going to die, and you do it again. You do it. You just trust God. Just do right. Don't ever go down that road that God never cares about you. That's a never lie. Yeah? We always get in the never lies, you know. My family will never change. I'll never have any money. I'll never own my own home. I'll never have a new car. I'll never change and act any better than I do right now. I'll never understand the Word of God. You never. When the devil tells you those never, you say, liar. That's what he is. He's telling you those things. He is a liar. And when you do that, that's doing right. Because that's believing, that's trusting, that's hoping in God. Man, am I spitting today. I must be hungry. I can smell that soup and sandwich. Sorry for the front. Let's give them blankets up here to towel themselves off. So you got to hope in God. God is right there with you. Don't hope in yourself. Don't trust in your circumstances. Don't even think of your thoughts that they're mightier than God's. Rely on God. Do right. Man, tell yourself, not only will things change, but they are changing right now, and I'm expecting something great is about to happen. See, what happens is you can have the same stinking problem for 25 years. Oh, man. I know some of you look at me and saying, oh, you've been married for 25 years. That's not why I picked 25 years. That is not why I chose 25 years. I heard those comments over there, by the way. No, you... It's more like Joan has the same thing. Anyway... 25, you get, and God is working on things. Let me tell you, God is working on things. He's working on things, and you're going to get up some morning just thinking it's going to be like any other day before, and then unexpectedly, whammo! Whammo comes. Love that word. Whammo! Everybody go whammo. Come on. Whammo! You know, that was the worst applause I've ever heard in my life. Because you know what? Whatever you're having a problem with today, by the time you get up in the morning or get to tomorrow night, it may be totally solved in your life by God. person whom you never thought would be saved could be saved. That person you never thought would change could have a complete encounter with God that could change them radically. Amen? See, somebody could have put you in their will and you don't even know about it yet. There's faith. It could happen. You don't know. It might happen. I'm getting hot. Just thinking about that income. You see, God can change your life in an instant. An instant. God can do anything, anytime. God is good. Some of you are a little slow. I hope you're getting fired up at the fire of God today. Amen. That's why we're red. Not really, it just caught me now. Maria Robinson said it well when she said, nobody can go back and start a new beginning, but anyone can start today and make a new ending. You can start today and change the ending in your life.
Well, I tried that twice and it didn't work.
let me tell you something. You're going to have to do the right thing for a long time before the right thing starts happening in your life. You've got to be patient. God is working.
Well, I don't see him working.
Well, that's the problem. You don't need to see God working. It should be enough to know that God is working. Amen? Last week at the Canadian Baptist Western Canada Assembly, boy, say that seven times fast, and Gary Nelson, who's the director of Canadian Baptist Ministries, man, they got great titles, man. He told about a situation in his life afterwards. I went up to him and said, Gary, I love telling stories. Can I tell your story? He said, sure. And I said, I'm going to hyperbolize and get it all wrong, but it doesn't matter. He told an incredible story. Anybody here ever sold clothes on consignment? Do you know what I'm talking about? Consignment selling? Good, because I've been there. I mean, you know, that's right. I do a lot of my clothes. Anyway, and I buy them there. Anyway, Gary and his wife, they were taking a load of clothes, doing spring cleaning, and they were hauling off their clothes and taking them to the consignment shop to do some selling. They walk into the consignment shop, put in there. As his wife is doing the dealings and stuff, Gary, a pair of pants caught his eye. He was, loved them. They were nice khaki-style pants. And so he went over and he thought, maybe, you know, Carly's dealing with this over here. I'll just try these on. So he goes and he tries them on. Man, they were nice pants. These fit. These are great pants. And he looked in the mirror. Wow, these fit pretty good, you know. So he bought them. Bought the pair of pants. He got home and stood in front of the mirror the next day. He thought, well, you know, I'm going to go golfing. I might as well wear my new pants. Put on the new khaki style pants. And wow, I look good in these. He was just, you know, he thought stunning. And so he called his wife. She came in and he's looking for these. He says, well, you know, don't these look good? I mean, these pants are fantastic. They fit perfectly. I mean, I couldn't, you know, if I had them tailor made, I couldn't got a better pair of pants. And his wife responded, well, most definitely they look good. They fit as well as when you gave them back to the consignment store last year. Such a good story, alone. We've done the wrong thing long enough to get the messes we've got now. The least that we can do is give God equal time that we give the devil. You know what you need? You need to believe God is working right now. Instead of being afraid of things and nothing's going to change in my life. You've got to start saying God is working right now. Things are going to change at any moment. In an instant, things could change. Those of you that can hardly wait to get married, I mean, you've been waiting for God, and you may have been single for a lot of years, look around. Maybe somebody sitting here today, I don't know. May run smack right into them as you try to get out of here today. Wait a minute, I think I got a word from God. You're going to meet them when you're dropping a $100 bill in the summer jam plate at her soup and sandwich line. You better know I'm kidding. That's not a word from God. It's a word from Devin. But I saw you reaching for your purses and wallets. I was a little concerned. God is working right now. Any moment, the glory of God is going to fall in your life, and you're going to see it. But you got to continue to press on with God and do right through this journey. Life will change by doing right, but life will also change by depositing correctly. I love the way the Amplified Bible puts this verse. Therefore, those who are ill-treated and suffer in accordance with God's will must do right and commit their souls in charge as a deposit to the one who created them and will never fail them. Every morning you just gotta deposit yourself with God. Everybody, okay, God, here I am. I'm yours, Lord. What happens to me today is it's up to you. I'm going to do my best to treat that whoever I come in contact with good. And I'm trusting you, God, to take care of how people treat me. I'm not going to live this life anymore fearing, God. I just put my trust in you, Lord. Wow. You know what? You wake up in the morning like that. And you're telling the devil something. You're saying, hands off. I'm God's. You're saying, I don't care what my life looks like now. It ain't over till it's over. And I've already read till the end of the book. And I know how it ends. I know how it's going to end. And I'm going to come out on top. And God is going to give me his favor and his blessing. Do you understand? Getting this? Amen? This commercial break is brought to you by First Baptist Church tap water. Oh, that's good. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 tells us something incredible about Jesus. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. Wow. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. When you're going through a difficult moment in your life, it may be somebody even talking about you or yelling at you or screaming at you. Just remember this passage. They hurled their insults at him and he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. You might be going through some difficult moment right now in your life. I'm going to tell you, deposit yourself correctly. Leave it with him. Let your walls down. Let some people in. Because we put these walls up. Every time we're hurt, boom, another brick in the. You know, we do. Don't be so afraid of getting hurt that you won't get involved in people's lives. I'll personally give you my guarantee that if you get involved with people, you will get hurt. You get into relationships, you're going to get disappointed when you do, but you're hurting yourself if you're isolating yourself. Instead of isolating yourself, learn to forgive. I remember when my brother's, my much older six years older than me, and I was playing football, and he taught me how to catch a football, and you know, this is how he taught me. He took the football, and he'd say, okay, now, if you want to be on our team, you know, it was just a neighborhood thing. I mean, if you want to be on our team, you got to learn how to catch a football. That sounds like Schwarzenegger or something. And he took the football, and he'd say, you know, just roll it around, you know, like this, kind of, when it comes, you just pull it in, you know, like, boom. Here comes the cartoon character, you know. And he fires that football as hard as it, I'm serious, you know, that it went, wait a minute, I was red in my, if you ever, you know, you know what I'm talking about? Red welts, you know? And he goes, we're almost there, you know? We have to get calluses on there. I think that's what that, I thought it was a steam stain. I think it was from the, but it, he, so he, and he was, and that's how he, and he says, and if you can catch this, you can be part of the team. You know, and he's walloping this thing. I said, throw it nicely. No, we can't. No, we can't. We don't throw nicely around here. You know, and he's, you know. Okay, so I figure, well, if you do that, you got to throw it back like that. Okay? So I learned how to catch, and, you know, that was great. And the football title, you know, allowed to play in the game, you know, like younger brother. Obviously, he didn't want me there. He must have just said. So I'm there, and we're setting up the teams, and I'm like, you know, last one, my button popped. Man, what? I didn't even have lunch. Anyway, sorry. So I'm like this, right? Because I want to be picked and chosen, and I'm like last, right? And I, you know, finally, picked Devin. You know. The ball never comes to me. You know, he's throwing to everybody, and he's throwing like this. You know, nice tosses. You know, and I'm like wide open. I mean, I can make a touchdown, and he's, you know, he's looking along. I'm getting angry, right? So finally, I get the ball because one of the other guys are passing. I hope you're making sense. You're going with me. I catch the ball finally. Nice, soft touch, you know. Ooh, you know, I got the ball. And he's going, Div! Div! So I, you know, hey, I learned how to throw from him. Ooh, and I just let that thing go. Bang, in the head. Down he goes. He's got a black eye. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. He was so mad at me. He was so angry at me. And he gets up and he says, oh, yeah, he's, yeah, I don't know, football lingo. And so I was so upset. I was so upset. I went in the house and I said to my mom, I'm not playing football with him ever again. So I went straight to my room. Not because my mother sent me, but... So I'm in my room, and I'm sitting there, I'm angry, and I'm upset, and I'm, you know. And the next day, same thing, I'm fuming. You know, I'm just angry, you know. And then second day, I thought, man, I'll show him. I mean, he wants me to play football. I'm not playing football. I'm not being part of the team. I'm out. I don't care. They'll have to go along without me, you know. Okay? See, this is on fourth day. He's going, hey, we're playing football today. He's telling us, you know, we're playing football tonight, Mom, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute. How can you play football without me? You don't understand. I've been stewing in my room for 3 days because of what you've done and said to me. That was in my mind. I have to tell you, see, your forgiveness is so much better than your resentment and your bitterness. I was alone in my resentment and bitterness. Holding unforgiveness against somebody is like taking poison and hoping your enemy will die. It doesn't poison their life. It poisons yours. And they're out having a good time. Because they're not even aware that you're upset and holding a grudge. And that bitterness, that resentment, I tell you, when I was in my room stewing about that for those days, the enemy loved me because he loves that stuff. But I know that God was weeping for me because God knew my life could be so much more enjoyable. See, if you hold on to resentment long enough, bitterness takes root, and God knows that you can change. But you just think that if you hold on to that grudge a little longer, the person you're mad at will start to hurt. And they're not hurting. Their life is going on. And only you're hurting yourself. And God knows you'll never be happy until you change things in you and forgive. This happens so much in the church. I mean, we get hurt in the church and people get hurt or burned or feel like, I don't want to go to church. They just go and they sit in the back row. If they do go to church, and they, well, I'm not getting involved. Not me. Did that once. Not going to get hurt again. No. Did you know that that's not in Scripture? Do you know that's not in the Bible anywhere? In fact, the Bible tells us to get involved and serve other people. What we need is balance in our life. We need to know when God wants us to say yes, and we need to know when God says, say no. Just don't let things get out of balance. See, but you can only do those things when you deposit correctly in Him. We need to change. We need to change. We got to stop rationalizing change in our life. We need to change. It's like this Pickles cartoon.
Okay, let me clear up a little misconception here. There's no toilet paper fairy. So when you use the last of the toilet paper, it's up to you to change it. Is that clear?
Yep. Don't listen to her. If you stop believing in the toilet paper fairy, she stops coming. You know? I wish you people could see what I'm seeing right now. You're all us, the ladies going, you know, and the guys are going, it's just so great. Just so great. You mean there isn't a toilet paper fairy? I heard somebody say that. It's up to you to change, not rationalize why we can't change. See, your life will change by doing right and by depositing correctly. Change comes when you live in expectancy. Because you know God's got it. And no matter what you're walking through, what disturbance comes your way, you know that as long as you're doing right, as long as you're walking with God and committed to Him and depositing your life every morning, God, do what you want today in my life. He will do what He needs to do in your life to make you better. See, and I tell you, even if a day doesn't go great for me, I know that the next morning I'm either going to wake up in glory or I got another day to start all over again. Wow. Do you believe God today? I mean, can you really commit yourself to walking right with Him? Can you really every morning say, God, today's your day. I'm yours. Do what you need. See, there's another passage in Psalm 37. I mean, some of the things that we fear, one of the other things we fear is that we fear we'll never get what we want. Psalm 37, verse 4, a very simple, wonderful promise, often quoted and overlooked. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You see, you can't lose with God. Did you know that? You cannot lose with God. But you have to believe God. You have to believe God for that. Everybody say, I'm a believer. Say, I'm not living in fear. And did you know the only acceptable attitude that a Christian can have toward fear is, I will not fear. When you seek God, when you delight in God, usually we misquote those kind of verses to mean that, well, how come God doesn't give me the desires of my heart? I want all this stuff. Listen, you delight in God. That's what matters. You delight in Him. Not in what you want, not in your dream, not you trust God in what He has for you. And He'll give you what He has for you. I tell you, there's no... You delight in Him, you deposit in Him, you got to deposit your life. And I'll tell you, in God's bank, this banking system is unknown to man. I mean, because God's reservoir is much better than any human bank because His return is eternal. So we're not going to believe anymore. We're not going to believe anymore that bad things are about to happen. We're going to aggressively believe that something good is going to happen. Amen? Three of you will. We're going to believe that something good is going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
Great.
We're not going to be afraid that people are going to reject us anymore. We're going to believe that we are accepted by God. And we're going to believe that God is going to give us favor where we walk, because he already has. Amen? In fact, we're going to say, in fact, let's practice it this morning. Something good is going to happen to me. Say that. Say it again. Something good is going to happen to me. And say, God favors me everywhere I go. God favors me everywhere I go. And the third thing, I'm not going to be afraid to suffer anymore in my life. It's sort of winded down at that point. Wow. But I tell you what, those moments of suffering in my life, I hated them. I don't like them. But my faith has deepened more and more because I've always seen God's tremendous outcome at the end. Always. So I'm going to continue to believe God, and I'm going to continue to trust God. And I know God is good. Let's pray. Well, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you this morning, as we walk through this time together, this whole series, have you understood that your life will change? And in fact, your life, this very moment, is changing. But maybe you've been listening so much to the lies that the enemy just comes and puts there, that never lies, or I'll never amount to lies, or can't do it lies, or I've been hurt lie. Maybe today, with renewed freshness, you understand that you got to start going down the road that God has laid out for you and start doing right. And secondly, you know you need to deposit your very life into his hands and say, God, I give you my life. I've been a Christian for a long time, God, but I give you my life to do what you need to do today. And that's not a call to become a Christian. That's for the Christian. Because we're very good at giving our life to God and then picking it up all the time. Because God has a remarkable plan for you to be blessed. Will you take his blessing today? I hope you know today that your life can change. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're saying to God, today, God, I don't know what that means, but I want my life changed. I want it changed today. Just lift up your hand. Just lift your hand up. But that you're saying, God, I don't know what that means, but I want my life changed today. Lord, bless you, Lord, bless you, Lord, bless you, Lord, bless you, Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you, Lord, bless you, Lord, bless you, Lord, bless you. Just lift your hand up. Lord, bless you, Lord, bless you, Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. God sees all those hands. God sees those hands. Lord, bless you. 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 God sees those hands. Maybe this morning you're here and you've heard about how good God is and how Jesus, his son, gave his life. And maybe you've been wrestling with that, and somebody maybe even told you that. But maybe you need Jesus. Maybe you've even backslidden. Maybe you've tried to serve God at some time, you've just fallen back, maybe even into sin. Maybe you've been in church for years, but you just feel like you got this big empty hole in you. Maybe you just don't know, even if you're going to go to heaven, maybe you just need Jesus Christ to just save you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you say, Jesus, I just want you to save me. That's it. That's all I want. Just lift your head up. While every head is bowed, just lift your head. Just lift it up. Keep your eyes closed. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Father God, there's always room. There's always room for us, Lord, in your kingdom. And Lord, there's always love. There's always love demonstrated to us through you. Lord, there's always blessing and favor upon us because we're your children. You love us. You care for us. You want the best for us. And that includes the tough love, the suffering at times. Well, we don't like it, God. We know that it's for your glory that we walk through those moments of tragedy or moments of turmoil or just moments of suffering. God, some people here, I'm sure they've been praying for years to just handle situations. God, may they know today in a fresh, real way that you're working on it. And in your time, in an instant, one day it's going to change. Lord, may they not lose hope. May they hope always in you. May they not lose faith. May they always trust and believe in you. Lord, we thank you for those who've come to you today and said that they just want to be saved. Lord, we pray your blessing on them in a great way today. May they see you afresh and real. But for each one of us here, Lord, protect us. Give us what we require day by day, so that what we say and do may glorify you, nothing more, nothing less, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.